Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." Let's read that out loud together one more time. Ready? Read. "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." So this is part four now of an ongoing study of purpose, a study that we've been in now that I'm pumped about, I'm excited about. I feel like, you know, until you know your purpose, you can't really find your identity. And I love ministering on the topic of purpose, being a ministry that has a school, preschool, K through 12. I'm constantly telling our student body, Mr. Euler's constantly sharing this with them, that they are a purpose with a name. Purpose is so vital to finding our identity. And I'm just so concerned that in today's culture and generation, people have lost the meaning of purpose. So we see here in verse 1, where the Bible says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." A time to every purpose. I'm one that when I study a topic in the Bible, when I study a topic in the Word of God and I'm just studying, I like to do a word study. I like to find out, okay, where is this word or where is this phrase found in Scripture? So in the old days, you'd open you a Strong's Concordance. It's a big old book. It's got every word that's in the Bible written there, and you can turn to that particular word. It'll give you every scripture reference where you can find that word, and it'll give you the Greek or Hebrew meaning of that word. Make you sound real intelligent when you stand in front of folk, right? And so now you can download a Bible app to your iPad or your phone. You can go on the internet to BibleGateway.com, type in any word or phrase of words, and it'll show you everywhere that's mentioned in the Bible. So if you were to do that with the word purpose, you would find it here in Ecclesiastes 3:1. And to me, when this one came up, it was one I just couldn't ignore. "To everything there is a season." Now read that latter part again. "And a time to every purpose under heaven." Read that again. "And a time to every purpose under the heaven." So God is saying, if this thing has a purpose, then there is a time stamp attached to it. One more time. If this thing has a purpose, then there is a time stamp attached to it. To every purpose, there is a time. So for the purpose that God has for all of our lives, there's a time stamp attached to that purpose, that you can't just study purpose and not study time, because God's word is saying here that to every purpose, there is a time for that purpose to come to fruition, to come to light, to manifest. And that's what I want to talk about today, is that there is a time to every purpose. So if you feel like you have some idea of what your purpose is in life, some of these are obvious, some of these aren't always so clear. I think for you to see this word today as it relates to timing is vital, and you'll understand more as we begin to look at more scripture. But let's drop down to verse number 11, same chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 11. "He hath made everything beautiful in his time." So if you're young and you feel ugly, just know God makes everything beautiful in time. Look at your neighbor and say, "You just need a little more time." And I hope I did not offend you. "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." I want to read the same verse from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified reads it like this: "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose, working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. What is time? Time is a measurement. And in Ecclesiastes 3:1, we see that time is under heaven. Not in heaven, it's under heaven. Why is there no time in heaven? Because there's no reason to measure, because it's not possible. You can't measure infinity. You can't measure eternity. And so time exists under heaven. We are under the measurement of time. Time for our lives began when we were conceived, and it ended when it will end when we die. But time is that measurement between, you could say, birth and death. It is a measurement that we've been given, and none of us know exactly how much time we have. We like to think that we got all the time in the world. We like to think that death doesn't happen till you turn 102. But if you read the obituaries or watch the news, you find that death is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how poor you are, how rich you are, how smart you are, how tall you are. Doesn't matter what your demographic or what culture you live in. Death is no respecter of persons. And we ought to look at what's going on and recognize, man, I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm going to stand on the word and hope that I live to see tomorrow, but it's not promised to me. God has warned me again and again that life is like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. I better make the most of the time that I have been given. I don't want to live with any regret. Amen. 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 Time is a measurement. There's no time in heaven because eternity cannot be measured. Here in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God says everything is made beautiful in his time. In his time, that thing is made beautiful. I want to talk today, and I just know we're going to get something from this. How does purpose attach itself to timing? If you feel like there's a purpose in your life, how is it related to timing? Because we just read here in verse 1 in Ecclesiastes 3 that if it has a purpose, there's a time stamp attached to it. So there can't be purpose without timing. So as I was processing this in my mind, especially verse 11 where the Bible says he makes everything beautiful in its time, you know, based on the timing of something determines how we celebrate it. Based on the timing of something determines how we celebrate it. Right? So I was thinking about this, that when God created the heavens and the earth, and we read of God's creation of the earth in Genesis, and we find in chapter 1 of Genesis this law that God established. It's a natural law, a spiritual law even, and it controls all things. And it's a law that says inside of everything God created that has life is the ability to produce more of itself. So a lemon, for an example, has within it a seed that tells us of its future. You could see like, you know, a lemon orchard that only began with one seed. That to every banana is the ability to produce more bananas. To every apple is the ability to produce more apples. And to every grape, the ability to produce more grapes. And to every man, the ability to produce more. As I was reading this, I was thinking about the process of taking a seed, planting that seed, and what started out as a simple seed could turn into a forest when managed right. And I really feel like the Lord shared this with me, and I want to share it with you, that your future is inside of you. Your future is inside of you. Tell your neighbor that. Your future is inside of you. To think that God has planted something in me that I may not even be aware of yet. I know for me at the age, of a child, when I'm in the fifth grade at Riverside Elementary School here in Shreveport, and I'm getting ready to get on the bus, the Yellow Hound, heading home, and there were Gideons lined up along the sidewalk, and they were handing out New Testaments, and one gave me this little green New Testament. I'm in the fifth grade, and I get that little New Testament, and man, I grew infatuated with it. I couldn't stop reading it. I was reading it to other people. I carried it to school, carried it home, carried it fishing. I was just always caught up reading it, even though at that time I was not in church, didn't know the Lord is my Savior, but here I am handed this Bible and I can't get enough of it, to the point that my classmates started calling me Brother James because they said, you're going to be a preacher, because I wouldn't stop reading this little Bible in class. See, I didn't know what my future was, but time allowed it to unfold. You never know what God has put in you that you're not even aware of just yet that's going to manifest sometime in your future. Look at your neighbor and tell him this again. Your future is inside of you. And just like that fruit that God made, and he put seed inside that fruit, and the future of that fruit is within itself. I need you to know that there's a future, and there's a plan, and there's a purpose that God has for every one of you. When you see a child, you need to recognize that child's future is already in that child. That child may not be able to even spell the word purpose, but yet they have been given a purpose by their Father in heaven, and that purpose is inside of them. And our job as ministers and teachers and parents is to create a culture and an environment so that that purpose can be cultivated, and to know that God will make everything beautiful in its time. I remember one day my wife telling me about one of our kids, about their will. And you know, you have children that just have these strong wills. Come on, somebody. If you're a mama or a daddy, you know what I'm talking about. You can't seem to get them to do the thing you want them to do, and they got this strong will. And the old timers used to have this statement. They'd say, "Don't make me break your will." This generation don't know nothing about that. But back in the day, they'd pull a switch out of the woods off a tree and say, "I'm going to break your will." My mama broke my will many times, and she'd tell me to hush it up when she got through breaking my will. And I'd be... and she'd say, "Hush it up." I'm like, "I can't. I'm trying to breathe." My wife said these words to me once about one of our kids. She said, "A strong will is a good thing. All we got to do is direct it." If you've got a child that's got a strong will, that's a good thing. All you got to do is direct it. That means when they make their mind up to serve Jesus, they won't change their mind. When they make their mind up to bring God glory, they won't change their mind. When other folk try to influence them to do what they shouldn't do, a strong will child won't move. See, we have to think about what's inside of me. What has God put on the inside of me? And I'm here to tell you that your future is on the inside of you, and God will make everything beautiful in its time. Now, there's no better example at anything than Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So let's go look at Jesus. If you would, turn with me to the Gospel of John, the New Testament, John chapter 7. God has hidden the future of a thing within itself. Your future is within you. Your future is within you. It takes time for that thing to unveil. In John 15, Jesus taught us that our lives should yield fruit that bring God glory, because that is the end result of every purpose. When I'm fulfilling my purpose, I'm bringing God glory. When anything God created does what it was created to do, it brings God glory. We may not like the rain in late winter and early spring, but we'll love the flowers and the budding of the trees when it comes spring, and the one was necessary for the other. Everything may look bleak and gray outside right now, but come spring, all that water that's been falling is giving the vegetation what it needs to give us life and colors and vibrant greens. All of it serving a purpose. And there are times in your life that may look bleak, and it looks misty and cold and gray, but you don't know what God is doing in this season of your life that's going to lead you to your spring. And one day you're going to look in your life and it's springtime, and what was dormant's going to come to life, and what's been hidden in you is going to manifest. And folk won't know about the dark days, they'll just see the bright days. But both were vital. Everything's made beautiful in its time. Now watch Jesus here in John chapter 7. When you get there, just say amen. Verse 4 is where we'll start. God gives every purpose time. Time. It's a time stamp attached to my purpose. We need to learn from Jesus in this, because Jesus knew his time. Watch this in John 7. When you get there, just say amen. Verse 4. This is what they said to him. This is what they said to Jesus. They said, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he hideth himself, seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. So they're saying to Jesus, this is about Jesus, that, hey, if you want to be known to the world, why are you doing these things in secret? If you came to save the world, if you came to be the Messiah of the world, then why are you doing these things in secret? Why don't you go somewhere big? Man from Nazareth? Nobody gonna know you in Nazareth. Nazareth is a little hole in the terrain. No more than 12 families lived in Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? If you came to save the world, you better get out of Nazareth. See, what are they saying here? They're saying, if a man's going to be known, he can't do things in secret. Get yourself out there. But Jesus said in response to that in verse 6, my time is not yet come. Read that out loud. My time is not yet come. Jesus, the wisdom of God, recognized there's a time for something to manifest, that one's future is hidden within them. And what Jesus was doing and the miracles and the teachings may have looked like they were being done in secret, but there was a phase, there was a time frame when what was being done in secret would manifest openly. You may be in a place in your life where nobody knows your name. You may feel like you don't have a purpose. You may feel like you're overlooked. I've been working at this company and I've not gotten the pay raise and I've not gotten the promotion. I'm being overlooked. You got to know that your Father never overlooks you. He knows the purpose that he's put within you, and at the right time he can bring those purposes to fruition. But you can't get anxious about where you are at this season in your life. Now, with this in mind, because Jesus said, my time is not yet come. Read that out loud. My time is not yet come. Jesus knew what time it was. Now, go with me to John chapter number 12. See, we know stuff when it's made known. But we don't know about what's done in secret. At the age of 17, right out of high school, I gave my life to ministry. And my uncle was a carpenter, and he built cabinets. And he had this big shop in the back of his property, and he built me a pulpit, a wooden pulpit. I still have it to this day. And I set it in my bedroom, and I used it as my desk. And I'd have my Bible open on that pulpit and my notepads, and I got notebooks stacked this high of things that I would study and write, and I would envision standing at that pulpit one day teaching what the Lord was giving me at that time. No invitations to any churches, not preaching anywhere, almost overlooked. But the Lord was using that. He was putting something in me at that time that he would bring out later. You never know when God has you in a season where things look dormant and they look dark and you look overlooked and you wonder, is this even relevant? Does this even matter? Jesus himself had a time when he did things in secret, and he knew it was not time for it to go out in the open yet. You've got to recognize that if God's given you a purpose, there's a time stamped to that purpose. Most men love tools. I'm one of them. So I'm in Harbor Freight a while back, years ago. And I saw a pair of bolt cutters that were on sale, cheap. Big old pair of bolt cutters. I said, man, I could use this in my arsenal. Wasn't like I was getting ready to go breaking anybody's house or cussing padlocks or chains. Even though I did think about that walking down the aisle with them bolt cutters, folk might look at me and say, what that preacher gonna do with them bolt cutters? And man, I got home, and in my shop, I got this pegboard, and I put a big old strong peg up there and hung them bolt cutters and said, yeah, that looks good in my arsenal. Don't know when I might need to cut a padlock or a chain, but if that day comes, I got a tool that's designed for that purpose. A couple of weeks ago, I had surgery. And I'm down, and you know, I ain't doing a whole lot. I was trying to walk when I could, and you know, doing everything the doctor said, because I want to get back here, you see. And so one day I'm out and I decided I want to walk out here and see what my wife's doing. Because most of y'all know by now, we got goats and we got goats that are pregnant. And we done built this maternity ward and we got one goat done had a baby. And matter of fact, one was born last Sunday. And so my wife's out there building this pen out of these fence panels like you use for cattle. And these fence panels are welded. And you don't cut these fence panels with no pair of pliers. You're going to need some bolt cutters. And so I walked out there, getting over to the maternity ward, and I'm looking around there, and my wife in the back there, and she's putting these fence panels up to build this little pen for a new little baby goat. And lo and behold, to trim the panels back to the right dimension, she had them bolt cutters. She was using bolt cutters. I said, go on, girl. I know you didn't get them bolt cutters off my pegboard, girl. Bolt cutter, cutting that stuff all up. I said, go on. Now, you know, the bolt cutters, when they got hung on the peg, might have wondered, when am I going to be used? When could I ever be used? I'm just sitting here. Does anybody know why I'm here? My wife might not even known I had them, but I'm sure when she got ready to cut those fence panels, she went and looked at the pegboard and said, what can I use to cut this? Oh, this looks easier than the saw. I think I'll use this. You may feel like you're just hanging around, like nobody knows your name. You may feel like God does not even know you exist, but the one who created you and designed you and put giftings and abilities on the inside of you, he knows what day he's going to take you off that hook and use you for his glory. Purpose is revealed by design, but you cannot disconnect purpose from timing. Watch this in John 12. When you get there, say amen. Amen. You may be in your secret place right now, but that's okay. It's in the secret place that you're prepared. Watch this in John 12. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified, that the Son of Man should be made known. The hour is come. What's another way of saying that? The time is come. The time is come. Five chapters earlier in John 7, Jesus said, my time hadn't come yet. Five chapters later, he said, it's time. It's time. Do you know that God can have a purpose for your life, but if you get it out of time, it can hurt you? Based on the timing of something determines how you celebrate it. See, a teenager don't need to be intimate. Because intimacy leads to relations. And relations lead to pregnancy. And it ain't time for that. I'm not saying that to mess with anybody that didn't get it together and missed it right there. I'm saying that to help somebody. Listen, you have to know what time you're in. What season are you in? There are things that God has set up that are true to purpose, but that purpose is attached to a time frame. When should this happen? Just because it is meant to be doesn't mean it's meant to be now. When we were, you know, meeting at LSUS for 5 years, this church didn't have more than 20 members. And we had a member that was working for a local television station. And he came to me and he said, Pastor Dan, I got a chance for us to go on television at a cut rate, at a good price. We can come in once a month and film it, cut it up into segments, and do that monthly. I never had peace about it, but I felt like God had told me to have a television ministry. So they did it. They came out and filmed, cut it up into parts, and they do that once a month. I never had peace with it. And then we got where we couldn't pay it. And so I contacted the station. I said, look, I said, cut that thing off. And they said, Pastor James, you got to give it time. You've got a dynamic message, and your ministry is relevant. You just got to get it out there so people can see it and hear it. And in time, people will come, and you'll get support for it. You just got to keep it going. I said, no. We're $7,000 in debt. No, sir, cut it off. I said, it's not time. If it was in time, we wouldn't be getting upside down. If it was time, the vision would be met with provision. And I'm not seeing the provision matching the vision. It's not time. Turn it off. Several years later, when we did go on television, we bought our own cameras. We bought our own equipment. We did it completely in-house. We were able to put it on television just like it was coming out of the pulpit. And even though we had saved up like $50,000 for the television fund as a buffer to kind of get us through and get us going, we finally rolled that money back over to the main account because we never needed it, because immediately God started meeting the need. It was time. Listen, just because you're supposed to do something doesn't mean you're supposed to do it now. So many young people look at what their parents have, and they want what their parents have. That big TV, that nice living room, that big house, two cars in the garage. You don't know how long it took them to get there. Just because you're going to get there doesn't mean you need to get there now. Because if you're not careful, you'll get yourself in big debt trying to get ahead of your time. Something out of time can hurt you.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.